But considering, now, if you'll just consider this house, this region, our lives, the dreams in our hearts, even the words that have bubbled up and bubbled forth this evening, considering what is now, and considering what is happening, and what is about to happen, and also considering what we deeply want to happen. I'm going to ask you tonight to again to consider, to give some consideration to that phrase there. Would you all say it with me? On earth as it is in heaven. I want to talk to you tonight about prayer. Considering what we deeply want, considering perhaps even more importantly, I hope when we talk about what we want, we're also talking about what He wants. Hope that these are I hope that our longings are an echo of His longings. That we are longing with the same voice as heaven. How many desire that? Amen. What does God want? How many believe? How many know that God has a kingdom? And so even the idea, even to use that language, basileia, in the Greek, the basileia, the dominion, the domain, it doesn't really necessarily restrict itself to meaning a geographical region, but it means the expressed dominion of a ruler. God has that means that ruler in a place or in a situation he has a will. He has an authority that he desires to be extended, to be enforced. Even using that language tells us, I mean, the Holy Spirit is the one who inspired the writers of Scripture to speak and to write with that language. Even using that tells us that if we know that God has a kingdom, that means that God has a will. God has an intent. God has a purpose. There's a fire that's churning in the heart of God, a passion, a design that He wants, a way that He wants things to occur. Right? What does He want? He wants His kingdom to be expressed. He wants His will to prevail. Does He not? Let's just say it this way. If He's God, let's use some Aristotelian syllogism here. If He is God, and if He has a will, then it follows that He wills, that He wants that will to prevail. He's mostly in favor of that will. To wit. Does He want this? Yeah. To what degree does God desire His will to prevail? To what degree does God want His will to prevail? On earth as it is in heaven. Everybody say it out loud.
On earth as it is in heaven.
All right, then what the question then begins, what do you want? What do we desire? I hope that it is the same, that we want the kingdom of God to be manifest. We want the will of God to prevail. Do you want that?
Yes.
Do we have a quorum? Do you want that?
Yes.
To what degree? Very good. See, we're all playing right along. Is that possible? Oh, yes, it's got to be. It is possible to the degree that we believe it and to the degree that we will pray. That's what Matthew 6:10 says. Jesus tells us, Matthew 6:10, this is where we get this phrase. He tells us, after this manner, or in this way, pray. Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Then He says, pray this. Your kingdom come. That is an aorist imperative. It means this is that it's not just a passive recognition of something that is happening. It's not even your kingdom is coming. It is a prayer, the very language with which it is introduced tells us that this is a prayer that Jesus expects to be causative. An aorist imperative is a causative imperative. Do this and begin doing it now. Do that which was not already happening. That's an aorist imperative. Jesus is telling us in the language in this prayer that our prayer is causative. And Jesus would not have us or not tell us he wants us to pray for the expansion of his kingdom and or to pray that God's will would prevail. Jesus would not have us pray that way unless it was necessary and unless it was possible. I just want to emphasize tonight the necessity and the potential, the promise of prayer, of this prayer, of this phrase even, this principle. The necessity and the potential of prayer. If God's will were done, if God's will prevailed independently of our will, if it prevailed independently of our activity, if it prevailed independently of our prayers, then Christ would not have told us to pray for his will to be done. Consider, we are not anywhere in Scripture enjoined to pray that the sun will rise. We are nowhere in Scripture enjoined to request that gravity will work. But we are enjoined by Scripture, by the words of Jesus. We are told to pray about things that are dependent upon those prayers. Selah, let that just settle on you for a second. We are enjoined in Scripture. We are instructed in Scripture. We are instructed to pray about things that depend upon those prayers being made. And we are instructed to pray for His kingdom and His will. Because Christ did instruct us to pray this way and for these results, it means that our prayer, somebody say our prayer. It means that prayer is the primary means by which His kingdom is manifested. And it is the primary means by which His will prevails. For His will to be done, for His will to be expressed, for His will to prevail to the degree that the circumstances on earth yield to the realities of heaven, we must pray. The exercise of one leads to the enlargement of the other. The exercise of one leads to the enlargement of the other. You pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. The exercise of prayer, His will prevails to the degree that we pray. Everybody see law on that for just a moment. Everybody just say see law out loud. See law. Stop and think about it. Okay, that's what that word means. His will prevails to the degree that we pray. That is the necessity of prayer. How many are starting to feel like it's a necessity? Am I the only one? I need a hand, a nod, an amen, a something. Okay? We only got a few minutes. How many feel like it's a necessity? Now listen. Now wait. How many remember that prayer is not our attempt to modify the mood of God? You're not trying to get God to change his mind. We're not. This isn't saying pray and tell God what to do because he's disinterested, unmotivated, and apathetic. No. We pray because God has delegated the responsibility of this place to his church. God is exceedingly and already and infinitely motivated. If I could move all this stuff out of the way quickly, I would say he's demonstrated that he's motivated. He could not demonstrate his motivation any clearer or any more powerfully. Amen goes there somewhere.
Amen.
Our prayers are not, oh God, please hear us. Please change your mind. Please, please, please change. Please. Oh, if we yell really loud, maybe God will hear us. No, that's not what this is. The necessity of prayer is by, I don't understand why God does what he does. He does, the Psalm says God does whatever pleases him. He does what he wants because he thinks he's God. And he has decreed that his kingdom will be advanced and his will prevail, contingent upon the prayers of his people. He's decided that. He's raring to go. His hand, he is poised. The chamber is loaded. His hand is poised to act. His will prevails to the degree that we pray. That's the necessity of prayer. And if we will pray, as we pray, we can know. Everybody say we can know. We can know for certain that our prayers are actually causing the expression of and the expansion of his kingdom. As you're praying, do you believe that?
Yes.
I'm wondering if we do. I think there's these levels of believing things. You know, there's the bumper sticker level. You know, I honk if I love Jesus, God is good all the time. God is good all the time. We believe that. But then there's the deep part, the part that forms our fundamental attitudes. The part that decides they used to say, you know, Billy Graham used to say, you know, show me your checkbook and I'll show you your priorities. Back when people had checkbooks. What's a checkbook? What do we believe it down here to where it affects how we think and how we feel and how does it affect our priorities and our practices? Do we believe that? This isn't about have you prayed enough? It's do you believe in its power? Do you believe in the potential of what will happen as you pray? Do you believe that your prayers, think about this, your prayers actually cause the expression and expansion of the kingdom of God. Your prayers actually cause God's will to prevail. Wow. That is the potential. We understand that prayer's necessity and prayer's potential. Prayer's promise. You are not passive pawns merely observing the universe go by. You are not passive pawns in your life or in your home or in your city or in this house tonight. You are the elect of God. You are kings and priests. You're a royal priesthood. And your mouth, if you will, your words, the prayers released through your heart affect the destiny of this planet. We said at a board meeting once many years ago, we sat and we were just waxing eloquent. And it said something like this. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And after that, he might should have said, but apart from you, I'll do nothing. Now, he didn't say that. Because we don't want to put God in a box. And he's big. And once again, God can do whatever he wants to, however he wants to do it. He tends to do things. He tends to be God. How many are glad? Yet at the same time, we understand that the testimony of Scripture is clear. That God's purposes, His activities on this earth, while we can't, I don't know that we can totally say God, that it's totally limited by our prayers. I can't necessarily say that. I could make a strong argument for it. I'm not willing to go there tonight. But I am willing to say this. Scripture on the positive side, absolutely, overwhelmingly, triumphantly, what am I trying to say? Exclamatorily, with loud volume and with much effort says that God's activities, the activities of heaven, are absolutely affected and influenced by the prayers of the church. This is the idea of partnership. Would y'all say it? Partnership with God. Why do we pray? Because we enjoy God's fellowship. Amen. We enjoy Him and we need to. We just need to just be with Him and be affected by His presence. But furthermore, that's our Father who art in heaven. Ah, hallowed be Your name. End. He is not a means to an end. He is the end in Himself. He, His presence is the point. Amen? Right? That's prayer. That's the first thing. That's the first thing about prayer. We come to our Father and we delight in the revelation of His name and in just knowing Him and staring Him right in the face. Wow. Fellowship. Right? And you go to the very next verse begins partnership. Partnership with the one with whom you've been connected, the one whose face you're staring into, the one out of whose heart you've been born. Now you have partnership. Everybody say partnership. 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 This is partnership with God. The idea that God has decreed the level of His activity to be congruent with and caused by the prayers of His church. This is the delegated responsibility and authority of the church. Some folks have said, I'm not comfortable. That sounds like you're, hey, we don't tell God what to do. Nobody said that. No, we obey God, and God said, you pray for my kingdom and my will. Cross-reference, Moses, Genesis chapter 17, verses 11 and 12. Let me go to it quickly because we have a couple of seconds here. I should try to pay some close of attention to the fact that there are other people meeting in the building with different schedules. Did you just say amen, Patty? I think that you're a rascal for saying that. Genesis chapter 17, if you read the story, it's right. This is not it. Not even close. Why did I say it was? It's Exodus is why. Thinking, this is weird. This is not what I read earlier. Okay, so Exodus chapter 17 in verse 11. Verse 8 begins the story of the people of Israel. They're leaving the promised land and they're leaving the promised land. They're leaving Egypt. They're going through the wilderness, etc. And they face the Amalekites and there's this war with the Amalekites. Fast forward. Here's the deal. That Moses goes up onto the mountainside and he lifts up his rod above his hand. And listen to this. Verse 11. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Let me ask you this question. Was it God's will for Israel to prevail? Come on, answer like you know. Yes. Absolutely. It was absolutely God's will for Israel to prevail. Moses had that prophetic, symbolic, very real intercession. When he lifted up his hands, as we do in intercession, when he did that, Israel prevailed. When he let down his hands, women lost their husbands. Children lost their fathers. God's purposes were contingent and caused by the intercession of His people. Do we believe this? Do we pray like we believe this? Would we pray differently if we really believed it? If we believed that our prayers were this important, this necessary, and they had this much potential. Can I please emphasize the potential of prayer? Let me ask you this question on a different side. Flip the coin. Ask it differently. I don't want to pick on anybody, so I'm going to find somebody safe. Cheryl's closing her eyes, so you're safe. Cheryl? Well, she was just getting blessed. It's all right. Cheryl, if you were the devil and you knew that this was true about the prayers of God's people, wouldn't you keep them distracted, entertained, and busy with anything but prayer? Jesus understood and believed the necessity and power of prayer. Jesus prayed much. He prayed with much confidence and prayed with much results. We've got to close. I don't have nearly enough time. Maybe I'll pick it up next time. But I want to talk about praying with confidence and expectation. Praying, because here's what we're going to go next time, is here's what's so wonderful about praying for God's will and God's kingdom, is it trains our affections and our meditations to be on the kingdom. If I'm praying, let your kingdom come, let your will be done, then my heart and my mind are occupied with His kingdom and His will. I begin to have a kingdom lens. I begin to see things as they could be and should be.